Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Hercules Invictus and Athena Victory celebrate the mythic impulses of ancient Greece and Rome, and they invite you to celebrate with them. Welcome to Voice of Olympus.
This is a place that is not a place.
A time that is not a time.
Where the gods of old hear our thoughts,
witness our deeds,
and know what is in our hearts. We invite the lords and ladies of the heavens and our listening audience to join us on a very special Voice of Olympus.
On October 31st, we were married in Honesdale, Pennsylvania. Tonight, we are reaffirming our vows in the between realms of Mount Olympus and Tenafly, New Jersey.
Let us greet our company. In honor of the exemplars, we call upon Hercules and the sun to grant us continued warmth and courage in our relationship.
In honor of the exemplars, we call upon Athena and the moon to grant us continued wisdom and creativity in our relationship.
In the name of the heroic path, we call upon Aries to give us the courage to face all our challenges together in the years to come.
In the name of the heroic path, we call upon Arete that we are always inspired to seek excellence in our worldly endeavors.
In honor of the angels, we call upon Hermes for continued conversation as we travel the road of life.
In honor of the angels, we call upon Iris, so that we may always continue in understanding as we travel the road of life.
In the name of the Olympians, we call upon Zeus, the All-Father, to preside over our ceremony and give us his blessing.
In the name of the Olympians, we call upon Hera, Queen of Heaven and Goddess of Marriage, to again smile upon us and bless our union.
In honor of the primordials, we call upon Eros to give us his blessing, so we may always look upon each other with love and devotion.
In honor of the primordials, we call upon Aphrodite, goddess of love, to give us her blessing, so that we may always find love and passion in each other's embrace.
In the name of the Titans, we call upon Kronos to remind us that our earthly time is brief and we should enjoy every moment we are together.
In the name of the Titans, we call upon Rhea to remind us that we should nurture and protect all the good things that come from our union.
Since all of you actually are joining us virtually here on the radio, we're going to do a little guided meditation to take you up to the 12 pillars of Olympus. So relax, breathe in and out, get comfortable, and imagine yourself along a beach in Greece. You're on the island of Lemnos, near the modern town of Kaminia. In antiquity, this region was called Polyokni, and it's one of the most ancient cities in Europe. It was the famed city of the Amazons that Jason and the Argonauts visited when they came to Lemnos millennia ago. So we all are near the shore. The Argo is anchored nearby. The pounding surf muffles the sound of our footsteps upon the sand. Before us, we see the dark bulk of a mountain. Atop it, we can see the white pillars of an ancient temple, gleaming silver in the moonlight. At the base of the sea cliff, we find the path. It winds in a spiral through the darkness. Along the path, we hear the voices of the Fae, who in Greek are called Loxotika, raised in song for the happy occasion. At last, the procession reaches the top. A large circular temple of gleaming white marble dominates the mountaintop. Beyond the pillars to the west is the sea. I lead the procession, but I have no eyes for the view. My eyes are only for Athena, my beloved.
I am there, in the center of the 12 pillars, cloaked in silvery moonlight, as if I've always been there. I'm turning slowly and holding my arms out to Hercules. As he joins me in the center of the temple, the rest of the procession enters, and they gather along the edges within the pillars.
Before me are several figures. One of them is Christine Evron, a pillar of our community. She represents Hermes and Iris, commerce and communication, and the common good. Greetings, Christine.
Hello.
Thank you for being here. I ask you to witness this ceremony and declare it, once it is over, that it is indeed so.
As so I intend to do.
Thank you. And we see Brontos Proximo, a good friend of the Order of Ares and the Mount Olympus Interfaith Council. I greet you, Brontos Proximo.
I greet you, Hercules, and friends.
You are here to represent... Thank you. You're here to represent Ares, who is heroic path and community service and the common good. Welcome.
Thank you,
we will now be renewing our vows.
We meet together as old friends,
familiar lovers,
equal partners,
and beloved spouses.
On this, the anniversary of our marriage,
I pledge again to you my heart, which has always been yours in this life, past lives, and lives yet to come. Although our days together are short, they are measurably better with you in my life. For every tear shed, there's always laughter. For every challenge, there's always triumph. Together, we are unstoppable. We are sword and shield, flower and bee, woman and man. Although the seasons change and the years fly by, we are eternal and in love. I look forward to growing old with my soulmate. Thank you, Hera, for your blessing.
I pledge again to you my heart, which has always been yours in this life, past lives, and lives yet to come. Although our days together are short, they are immeasurably better with you in my life. For every tear shed, there is always laughter. For every challenge, there is always triumph. Together, we are unstoppable. We are sword and shield, flower and bee, woman and man. And although the seasons change and the years fly by, we are eternal in our love. I look forward to growing old with my soulmate. Thank you, Hera, for your blessing.
I take my bride in my arms, and together we ride off in a silver and gold chariot emblazoned with celestial symbols and pulled through the sky by a huge dragon.
The spirits of our ancestors applaud. I throw flowers in our wake, and the witches on broomsticks. It is indeed a magical night of celebration. Tis All Hallows' Eve, Samhain, Halloween, and our anniversary. Blessed be, and thank you for joining us here tonight.
Thank you. Christine Evron, have you witnessed the ceremony?
Yes, I have. I am very proud to have witnessed your renewal of your vows. It was an absolutely beautiful ceremony.
Thank you so very much. Athena wrote it. Brontos Proximo, my friend.
The whole thing?
Yes, she wrote the whole thing. I just made a few minor embellishments, but that's her work, and I'm very amazed by it.
Well, I think it was beautiful, and I have to say that you both exhibited great support and love for each other through some somewhat daunting experiences. I hope your life moves in a less stressful direction, and you continue to love and cherish each other as you have in the past, and that your love for each other only grows. And congratulations again.
Thank you. Bronto Sproximo, my friend. Do you bear witness to this event and affirm that it did indeed happen?
I bear witness to this glorious event. The anniversary and renewal of your vows couldn't happen on a better night of the year. And I look forward to many years of sharing my birthday and at the celebration of my birthday, celebrating your marriage as well.
Yes, happy birthday. We're going to announce that a little later, but you beat us to the punch. Happy birthday, my friend.
Oh, come on. I wanted to announce his birthday.
Aw. Okay, we'll backtrack a little. Christine, you can announce his birthday.
Well, I wanted to explain how I knew it through the magic of Facebook. I mean, even though met him once.
That was wonderful that day, and the Order of Aries went throughout Tenafly in their finery and performed acts of martial derring do and gave displays of their war skills.
It was very cool.
Yes,
and Starfleet 7 was there too, which was fun.
Yes. Bronto.
We enjoyed it a great deal. Yes, sir.
There are people who could not join us today, people from across the sea, and yet they sent us blessings. Would you do us the honor of sharing these blessings with us?
I'm pleased to have the honor of representing the rest of the world, contributing blessings to your wedding. From Blasis Ratius, who is the head of YSEE, one of the Hellenic organizations in Greece. He sent a quote from a wedding ritual, and I have the honor to read it for you now. May the gods always bless your common life, a pleasant life, in goodness and peace, a life where you'll have all that each one of you desires.
Wow. That's from their wedding ritual, and it's a beautiful blessing. We didn't use their wedding ritual because my wife wrote one, but it was a very beautiful ritual, and that was a very beautiful blessing. Thank you.
My pleasure. And from the United Kingdom, Michael Crayat of Ecclesia Sol Invictus and Hellenismus Ainios sent the following. A blessing on the occasion of Hercules and Athena's renewal of their wedding vows. It is in the resolution of duality into unity that we find harmony, and in the harmony between a man and a woman is found love, and here the very heart of the mysteries is revealed. May the grace and blessings of the God of Heaven and the Great Mother pour continually upon this couple, and may their long union be a sacrament of the divine life of the Godhead, that their lives together be blessed with an abundant faith, hope, and love. May they minister and keep each other in the bounties of nature. As the sun and moon in heaven reign supreme above the clouds, both light and dark, steering the course of the day and the night, may Hercules and Athena be ever above the vicissitudes and adversities that confront them together. May their love for each other be strengthened by the sacred union, that they may be invincible together. Sol Invictus Mithras, Lord of Light, bless Hercules in his future life with Athena. May he be a warrior of the goddess, her champion and knight. Give him the strength and endurance to achieve their goals in life. Magna Mater Anaitis, Lady of Life, bless Athena in her future life with Hercules. May she be a priestess of the gods, their devotee and oracle. Give her the vision to see their way forward together. May our holy God and Father bless and protect you, and may Great Mother of us all keep you forever in her heart. Ave Sol Invictus Mithras, Ave Magna Mater Anaitis. And then quite lovely. And once again, on behalf of the Order of Aries here in New England, a few words. The wedding of a young couple The wedding of a young couple is a romantic affair. They come to the wedding altar strangers, starry-eyed and infatuated with each other's youth. The renewal of vows is something deeper. It is two lovers saying, I have laughed with you, I have fought with you. I know your qualities and your flaws. And because of all, I still pledge myself to you. On behalf of the Order of Aries and Starfire in particular, we wish you love.
Thank you so very much. That's beautiful. Did you pen
that?
It's
our pleasure.
Did you and Starfire pen?
Starfire proofread.
Okay. So she fulfilled my role, pretty much. And you wrote the poem. That is so beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Well, I'm glad to share this with you.
In antiquity, when an Eros Gamos took place, it wasn't only a man and a woman getting married. It was usually a priest and a priestess representing a god and a goddess. And the purpose of the Eros Gamos was not only pledge these people to each other, but to the community. And what I think differentiates us from many other Olympian paths is that it doesn't really matter what you believe at any particular point in time or what type of ritual acts that you perform. These are largely left up to you. But what does matter is that you take your gifts, whatever they happen to be, and to the extent that you're capable of sharing them, to share them toward the betterment of your community. And sometimes I know, because I've been doing this for a very long time, that what you do does not seem sufficient and does not seem enough. However, do it. Do it with all your heart. Make your family a better place to be. Make your neighborhood a better place to be. Make whatever faith group you belong to a better place to be. And if enough people did that, we'd make the world a much better place to be. So that's what we've committed ourselves to as well. And I'm very blessed and honored to have here officiating at our wedding two other individuals who pretty much follow the same philosophy. And I've known you both long enough to know that you're all about the common good. And I'm greatly honored that you're here.
Well, thank you. We're honored to be here, I'm sure. I could speak for both of us on that.
Yes, you do.
How often do you get to stand on a mountaintop in Greece? I mean, great.
With Argonauts and gods and ancient Lemnians in attendance.
Insane, witches.
Yeah, my views were all on the scenery. I didn't have to go watch Athena.
But I'm captivated with her, so I'm still watching her.
Okay.
Good answer.
Well, that concludes our ceremony, and we're going to hang out and have some conversation. And because we're all about community, I know that we didn't plan this for today's broadcast, but Christine, there seem to be a lot of interesting things happening in Tenafly, as always. Do you have anything you could share with us?
This, at the moment, we're working on having window paintings in Tenafly. We found an artist who does some very nice holiday paintings of snowmen and things. And we're going to hope to turn Tenafly into a tourist destination for the holidays.
That is awesome.
Of course, the tourists may come from Crestkill, but, you know, we take what we can get.
It's a start. I have tourists coming to the Crestkill Library when I give my talks. They come from different parts of Bergen County, so it's a beginning.
Like Alpine.
Yes, like Alpine.
It's a distant land.
and
the Alps, right?
and very magical, too. Every time you drive past Alpine, you can see that it's a very different and magical land.
Yes.
This is local humor that the rest of you are going, what?
It doesn't matter. You can put it with the elves and the other things that we brought up. And Bronto, you're doing some amazing things also in martial arts. Would you care to share some of your recent projects with us?
Well, this past Friday, not all, but most of the Order of Aries was present for a black belt test. four young people who have been training hard for a couple of years. They, in the test, they needed to break wood, sparring, sometimes one on two, one on three. So these are, this happened to be a young person's test. I think the oldest child was 11, and they were fighting against three other people, which was pretty exciting. And I had occasion at the end of the ceremony to give a speech and to put things in perspective, is that when we spend a lot of time learning how to fight and learning how to defend ourselves and how to strike and how to punch and how to kick. And the ultimate purpose for this that I tried to impress upon the children is that so we would never have to. There's a phrase I like to tell the students, and it's that the student learns how to hit, the instructor learns when to hit, and the master learns when not to hit.
Mm-hmm.
And standing on the courage of knowing that a closed fist does not necessarily mean the end of conversation. It does not necessarily mean that the conflict has to end in violence. If you have the self-confidence that if somebody is starting to be angry and is threatening violence, you know you can take care of yourself. You can bring the situation to a successful nonviolent end. Unfortunately, that doesn't always happen, but that's the goal, and that's why we train. And I'd like to think that I made an impression on the children, and certainly one of the parents at least understood it because he came afterwards and had a little discussion about it.
That is awesome, and a lot of people don't get Aries, and usually they'll throw up quotes in Homer. And I always try to point out that Homer wrote his epics for an audience, much the same way the television shows and movies are written for an audience. So Homer liked putting things in there like a goddess of marriage who's cheated upon by her husband and a cowardly god of war.
Well, it's typical ironic humor.
Yeah, of course it is, but a lot of people don't get that. Everything we have about the old myths comes to us from plays and from cartoons on pottery and things like that. So
it's analogous to people who take Shakespeare too academically. Shakespeare's goal was to make a paycheck, to sell tickets, to entertain people. Just because he had a classical background and had a wealth of sources to pull from doesn't mean that he was not planning for his plays to be done, you know, so many centuries in the future and be taken so seriously that all the fun gets taken out of them.
Well, now it's considered very highbrow, but at the time Shakespeare wrote the play, I mean, I saw an annotated version where you realize that a lot of Elizabethan slang was actually fairly dirty. So some of the things saying in the plays is actually very bawdy, and the audience probably roared at the time.
Exactly so. And for somebody modern to understand that, the assumption is that they must be very academic. And it's sort of taken the joy out of Shakespeare and, by extension, out of Homer by taking it too academically. Homer is not a Hellenic Bible. It was one method of recording a lot of ancient genealogies, a method of recording the high points of an ancient battle that happened that affected most of the Mediterranean eventually. But it was entertainment. It was meant to keep Homer and his cultural descendants employed and fed. Aries' depiction, even in modern fiction, has taken that same thing. Even when we look at the God of War games and Xena the Warrior Princess and the two Marvel comics that came out, and he's very much the bad guy. Conflict is at the heart of every human communication, and what we decide to do with that conflict is whether it's negative or positive. I'm reading a book now, and you'll forgive me if I've forgotten the author's name off the top of my head, called The Gift of Anger. And the author is the president of the Human Rights Council, I want to say, largely responsible for the Don't Ask, Don't Tell being repealed, largely responsible for the Defense of Marriage Act. so that a lot of the progress we've had with civil rights in the past, you know, certainly the second half of the Obama administration, was due to this fellow. And to read words that I've said to other people in print by somebody that I've never met was just earth-shaking. So I highly recommend the book.
That's awesome.
Well, but I have to say, that's a much more reassuring interpretation of Aries, especially with the Aries moon that we just full moon that we just had recently. I was thinking that it was a portent of the election or something. This sounds much better.
So
the spirit of Aries is one of meeting life's challenges, and even if you get your butt kicked the first couple of times you try to, or the first 10 times you try to tackle them, it's the getting back up, like in a dojo, you know, like in any type of sport or martial art event, and just keep going on and on and on until you gain mastery.
It's the heart of owning each conflict and owning it to a successful end. It's not it's a very personal. It's human to human, and sweat and love and loud words and soft words, but it is keeping with it to come to an outcome that is the best for all involved.
And on those words, we're going to go to break. Thank you very much, Christine. Thank you very much, Bronto. Bronto, we're going to continue after the break. And Christine, you're welcome to hang out if you like, but I know that you have a lot of, you know, really cool things lined up for tonight. Thank you for taking time to do this. So if you'd like, you can go, and thank you for being here.
It was a pleasure, and congratulations again. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye. And Athena, what song are we listening to tonight?
Okay, we're going to have a special Halloween one. The music is by Castalia Alexandrian, and it's called Halloween Chant.
How appropriate. Today is Halloween.
Really?
And it's our anniversary and our reaffirming our vows day and Bronto's birthday. How cool
Woo!
Is that? We shall be right back after break.
Fire red, sun is dead, yet it shall return. Clear and bright in the night, burn, fire burn. Dance a ring, lurk to bring when the years are turning. Chant the rhyme that held us tight when the fire is burning. Fire glow, vision show of the heart's desire. When the spell is chanted well of the witching fire. Dance a ring, lurk to bring when the years are turning. Chant the rhyme that held us time when the fire is burning. Fire spark when nights are dark, makes our winters mirth. Readily fall the earth, take go, bring them to rebirth. Dance the ring, luck to bring when the years are turning. Chant the rhyme at Hallow's time when the fire's burning. Fire fair, earth and air, and the heavens rain. And blessed be in still may we at Hallow's tide again. Dance the ring, luck to bring when the years are turning. Chant the rhyme at Hallow's tide when the fire's burning. Dead, yet it shall return, clear and bright in the night. Burn, fire, burn, burn, fire, burn, burn, fire is burning.
International Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more. All available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio, so go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
You're listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Thanks for sticking around. And now, back to the show.
And we're back. I'm Hercules Invictus.
And Athena Victory.
And this was a special edition of Voice of Olympus, where we reaffirmed our vows and celebrated our anniversary and Bronto's birthday. So welcome. Thank you for joining us. In the second half of the episode, we will be hearing from other folks who walk the Olympian path, and they've been kind enough to write blessings, and I look forward to hearing them.
And I would like to say that during our reaffirming of the vows, because Samhain is when the veil between the living and the dead is the thinnest, this time of year I always feel very close to my grandmother, Sophie. She was a big part of my life, that I was practically raised with her. We always went over grandma's house, and she's always with me on Halloween or Samhain. So I like to think she was there at the ceremony tonight. That my mother, Nancy, who passed away about 2.5 years ago, joined us. And my brother, Mark, who's been gone now for just 6 months. These are some of the folk that have been very close to me, along with the spirits of all my ancestors, that I believe were in our wedding party tonight.
I felt their presence, so I'm sure that they were. Bronto, welcome back from the break. Thank you so much for joining us on your birthday.
Well, thank you. Sorry, I was muted.
Well, we're glad that you're back, and we have joining us Chris Aldridge from the Temple of the Greek Gods. Greetings, Chris.
Hi, how you doing tonight?
We're doing awesome. How are you?
I'm doing good.
You wrote a very lovely blessing that you performed at your own wedding. Is that correct?
Pretty much, yeah. At your request, I decided to write one for you.
Thank you very much. I'm greatly honored. I'd love to hear it.
Okay, ready to begin?
I'm ready to begin.
All right. Let me light my little altar flame here.
Thank you.
Okay. Are we ready? Okay, here we go. O white-armed Hera, with a bond everlasting, golden Aphrodite of unbreakable love, erotic Eros, with passion as deep as arrows, and Hymenaeus, lord of the wedding, we ask that you all come joyously with blessing upon this marriage, upon their lives and their festivities, now and forever, in the light of Olympus and the goodness of all that is the gods. Let it be done.
Thank you. That's beautiful. Now,
yeah, congratulations.
Thank you, Chris. Chris will be joining us on our Intrafaith Dialogue show.
Okay.
So we'll be learning a lot more about the Temple of the Greek Gods.
Mm-hmm.
Chris is a writer, and in December we have him scheduled on the show to talk about his new books. What is the most recent one that you're working on, Chris?
It's a new prayer book I have coming out. It has at least 150 prayers in it. It's called Light of Olympus, Ancient Greek Prayers for Everyday Life, and I hope to have it available by the end of this week.
That will be awesome. Please let me know about it on Facebook, and I will surely spread the word. And I thank you very much for joining us here tonight and for writing that wonderful blessing.
No problem. I wish you guys happiness. Have a good night.
You too, Chris. Take care. Greetings, Bronto.
Greetings again.
The timing of tonight's show is a little choppy, but we're moving forwards. I guess until we have Thomas and the other guest, Tina, calling in a little later with their blessing, I want to talk about the interfaith dialogue that we started. I've been in what is called Hellenismos now, I guess, from the times I first encountered it, before there was an internet, when you had to belong to the Fellowship of Isis or the Selena Fox Circle Network, and communication happened by letters, mostly at P.O. boxes. even back then, when it took forever to get a response and you had to write these really long letters, you know, to get all your thoughts in, there seemed to be a rift between people who were trying to reconstruct the religious practices of antiquity, most of the time sans sacrifice. There were always groups that wanted the sacrifice and everything that went along with it, and then there were other groups that drew the line at the sacrifice and sometimes substituted cookies or something else or barbecued meat, whatever they happened to substitute. And then people who either followed Wicca or what they called neo-paganism, which was another type of reconstruction, This stuff is still going on today as I wend my way through Facebook Hellenismos. And we've decided to take a different path. Number one, not to tell people what they should be believing, because that's an individual preference, really, and it comes from somebody's experience. So we don't count one individual's experience greater than another's. And second, that doing counts more than you know, lighting a candle and saying a prayer and so forth, although those are very important to religious consciousness. So with the interfaith dialogue, my intentions from my end were just to get people to communicate on a basic level where we're all honoring the Olympians. We might be honoring them differently, but we're all honoring them. And see if we could start dialoguing on that particular basis. It's been more successfully done online, even back in the Yahoo days, by groups that just called themselves generically Greek pagan, and they let anybody in, and they could say what they want. But I had somebody very recently, even though it was stated that we're syncretic and universalist, attacking the syncretic and universalist standpoint. So I find that very disturbing. But that was what led to this whole interfaith dialogue idea. And I want to thank you very much for being a part of that from the beginning.
It's my pleasure. We live in an age, unfortunately, that there are folks that, and they're mostly on the fringe, but technology such as the internet has given them a voice and they've been able to partner together. But the sort of extremism that my way or the highway, the folks that that behave in that manner are usually among the least productive towards society when it comes to what they do in their faith. The obsession of arguing over how many angels dance and they have a pin gets in the way of them actually trying to help people. So I don't know how many angels or Agatha's name on or whatever manifestation you can come up with can fit on the head of the pin. I don't see its relevance in our lives and not knowing the number. And of course, I'm using it as a metaphor for every absurd religious argument. Not knowing the number shouldn't stop us from helping people who need our help.
Exactly.
If there's anything that defines a hero, it is the conscious decision to take righteous action. You can argue philosophically over what's righteous and what's not, but at its fundamental nature, it's somehow contributing to society. Pointless arguing doesn't contribute to society. Meaningful discourse that helps all groups come to a conclusion that somehow broadens our knowledge, I welcome. And that's not what all of these groups spend a lot of time in. The sacrificial argument is one that has gone on for as long as I can remember. And I personally disagree with the killing of anything for no other reason than to kill it. If you're going to make it, if you feel that making an animal offering is something that you need to do, it should be in the context of the food and the hide and the horn and the hooves and using every part of the animal. If you're not comfortable with that, I don't see that as a requirement. These ritual is to help us get to a place where we are open to inspiration from the gods. If you can get that, if you can obtain that quietly in a room by yourself, well, there's certainly no need for candles and glitter and every other thing that they like to sell in the witchy shops. But ritual does help. Ritual can help individuate you from the mundane world to get you to a place where you are more open, more receptive to what the gods are trying to tell you.
Well, good ritual sort of like gives you an altered state of consciousness, and it also gives you a way to focus what you're doing. It sets a mood, and that's why it's used. I mean, after a while, you probably can do everything in your head if you have a very good imagination. But for people just starting out, especially, or if you want to go through it, because ritual should be theater too. And especially if you have a lot of people, everybody's joining in. It's sort of like theater and around a lot of times, even within a circle. And I really do think that that part of it helps. And
I don't think there's anything fundamentally wrong with ritual. I think that it's an important part of our society. I think that, like you said, it can help bring you to the place where you can be open to the gods. The point I was trying to make is that ritual as requirement, if you don't do a ritual, you're somehow doing it wrong. If you don't do this ritual, then you're somehow doing it wrong. I think that there are rituals that are more effective for a group. But what I was objecting to is that the sort of extremism that this is the only way to do it. I've never called the quarters or the corners or whatever it is, and I know that I've gotten to certain places that people who are very familiar with those rituals still try and struggle to get to. So as part of the Interfaith Council, the argument isn't necessarily this is the right way to do it, but once we've gotten there in our own ways and have the inspiration of what we should be doing, how can we get together to do that?
Very well said. I am not, for instance, I follow personally and I share the using the weekdays, which is the Vamada, you know, the seven planetary powers. That is a very old system. And it just, it doesn't have anything sacred in and of itself, but it's a good way of structuring, I found, you know, my inner psyche. So I go through 7 days, every single day and every single minute of that day is holy and sacred. And on Sunday, I think about my external world and what is my external world like? What am I in my external world and so forth. On Monday, I go into my internal world, my nature and nature generally. So what it does is it forces me every day to focus on a different aspect of my life. Because we get lost in our thoughts, and before you know it, you're all over the place. No one has to do this, and they could assign different deities to the days. And again, as long as it's helpful to them, it's a good thing. But there, too, I'm running into people who are arguing with my interpretation. It's just my interpretation, and you know me long enough to know I've tweaked everything several times. You know, I'm still not happy with my version of the 7 days. There's like 2 points that I haven't totally worked out yet. But it's a functional model, and for the most part, except for those 2 pieces of clunkiness, it works fairly well for me. So I share it. And in every class I've ever given, I let people know that I've looked into this stuff for years, and I've thought about it, and I've experimented with it, and I've experienced it, but I'm sharing my best understanding. A person could say something in that class that will change my perspective, in which case next time I'll be sharing that perspective. So because I'm sharing information doesn't mean the information is fixed. It's just basically based on where I've been and what I've done. This is what I see, and this is how I make best sense of it. And it isn't about it's my way or the highway at all. It's a sharing. It's a dialogue. It's a conversation.
And this is one of the places that you and I are always in agreement, is that this is what I know now. This is what rings as truth to me now. And I may speak to somebody in a day or in a month or a year who follows another set of gods or another god, and they may speak some truth that'll speak to me, and I will perform the rituals that I do to get to the place to say, have I learned something here? Maybe this is now part of what I call truth. And when I come to that determination, I share it with anybody who will listen.
And that's an excellent practice, because you're always open to growth, you're always open to new experiences and new perspectives. And the ancients, at least the Greeks and the Romans and the other folks from the Mediterranean, that's how they interacted with each other. They looked for these commonalities. And sometimes the commonality was clunky, which is why to moderns in our way of looking at the world, these equations of one god with another sometimes, you know, don't work for us. But for the ancients, they did. If they found enough commonality, then, okay, these guys are the same. And they made up stories about it, like at the Temple of Amun when Hercules went, and this is reported by Herodotus, he was looking to connect with Zeus, and he got an oracle from Amun, not knowing that Amun was Zeus. And that during the battle with Typhon, Zeus fled to Egypt and took to hiding behind the mask of a ram. So they made these stories to explain the discrepancies, but they had no problems with Hermes being Thoth, with Zeus being Amun, and with Hercules being Melkart. You know, they didn't really see what we see. And regionally, there were differences in the myths as well. On the other side of the Ionian, the people in Italy had a very different view of Mars than the people in Greece had. The Romans worshipped Mars, and they saw positive things in him that contributed toward their civilization, toward their people. But this was their understanding. And the Greeks and Italians certainly communicated, so eventually these stories became very jumbled. And later authors pointed out that there were actually many different versions of the Olympians, that there were several Zeuses and several Herculeses and several Areses, and that all of these individuals together made up the legends and made up the myths. And whether that's true or not, who knows, but it was another way of looking at things that the ancients offered. And Alexander, too, people who lived during the lifetime of Alexander saw somebody literally become a god, which Alexander did in his lifetime. So that made them look back on the myths in a different way. And Euhemerus, as it's called in English, or Euphemismos, looked back on the myths and took what was human about them and speculated as to whether these figures were actually ancient conquerors, people like Alexander, who left a great imprint on the world. Was it correct? Again, who knows? Nobody was there. But the fact that they looked at these things and speculated on them and considered them is something very healthy.
And you mentioned Herodotus. Herodotus does not, there's no ambiguity when he says, oh, and in Egypt, where they call Amun Zeus, or Zeus Amun, and then he'd continue. It was no, I think it's kind of, he just made the equivocation and he continued with his narrative.
That is very true. We have a guest. Let me check to see who's joined us. Greetings.
Greetings.
Is this Thomas?
Yes, it is.
Greetings and welcome, Thomas. Thomas Lionheart Punton is a very good friend of many years. He is the first person to interview me in a very comprehensive interview that remains one of the best I've ever done. And it's still available on YouTube and several other places. Episode number 8, is that correct?
That's right.
And Thomas is also the first person to enter our new edition of the Order of Athena. And he is a priest of Athena himself. His understanding of Athena is a bit different from ours, but that's okay because we're all about these explorations and communication. Thomas wrote a wonderful blessing. So before we proceed with our conversation, would you like to share the blessing, Thomas?
Yes, I would.
Thank you.
I bless you both, great Hercules and noble Athena. May the goddess of wisdom and courage bless the knowledge and nobility in the many years ahead. Blessed be to the goddess Athena.
Thank you. That is lovely, Thomas. That's wonderful. Thank you for the blessing.
You both well enough deserve it. I'm happy for you both.
And we're happy to have you as a friend. Bronto is joining us tonight. So because we had a few irregularities with this program, we're actually discussing some background material that's going to be very important, especially by season three, where this entire show will be about these things that we're talking about now. You were also on our intra-faith council. Would you care to tell us a little bit about the tradition that you belong to?
Oh, I'm part of the Spell Tree tradition. It's a group of covens, mostly in North Dakota. There's the one I'm part of is the Order of the Aurora that's in Grand Forks, and then we also have one in Rugby and another one in Fargo. And then we have one down in Wichita, Kansas, and soon there'll be one that'll be forming over in Washington State as well. And it's been going on for 9 years now. As a matter of fact, we're going to have a student, Solomon, tomorrow, actually, at UND in Grand Forks, actually.
And well, your tradition is Wiccan, is that correct, or mostly Wiccan?
It's mostly Wiccan, yes.
And it appears to be eclectic in that it allows people to follow whatever god or goddesses they resonate with in whatever pantheon. Is that correct?
Exactly, yes.
And you are a devotee of Athena.
Yes, for my goddess is Athena, and my god is the green man, Kyrenos.
Very awesome. In Greek mythology, using the interpretatio of the ancients, he would be considered Pan by most Greeks of his day.
Mm-hmm.
And
go
ahead.
Yeah, the reason being I go with Kyrenos is more towards my Celtic heritage, so that's why I go with that instead of Pan.
And why not Athena's bride then? The ancients made that association.
The
Morrigan also, but also bride. Okay. Some classical authors like they equate Hercules with Ogmius, and then his father, the Dagda. You know, those are the strongest associations. But also with his son was Celtis, who was the father of the Celtic tribes. Is all these stories from long ago. What is unusual about your tradition, as far as I'm aware, and my information on the I guess the neo-pagan front is decades old when I first investigated it. But in your tradition, you also channel the deities, and you've done a channeling for us the last time you were on the show.
Yeah, yes. I've done it before. I know some of the others have done that as well. And a lot of times when we ever do a ritual, when we welcome the gods and the gods and goddesses, we will mention them of the ones that we're familiar with by name as welcome specifically as well.
And you are also somebody who's been chronicling your journey. Even before you got involved with the group for years, you had a podcast mm-hmm. where you were interviewing people like me and people more local to you and exploring. And for you, it wasn't so much a quest for knowledge because you were pursuing that on your own, but a quest for community.
My podcast, The Great North Pagan Podcast, has been informational as well. I mean, it helps, for those that, if they're going on YouTube and they stumble upon it, it helps them understand, if they're not familiar with Wicca or paganism, it gives them an understanding and helps break the stereotypes that have been known about it.
And you are also one of the few people I know, aside from myself and a handful of others, that heavily uses pop culture in your mythology. So you're also somebody who's just as likely to quote Disney as an ancient author because you understand that these are stories that are entertainment and you'll have different versions of them, not because people are being sacrilegious, but because people creatively see the stories in different ways. And Bronto mentioned how Ares turns out to be a bad guy. In the DC universe, Hercules is often a bad guy too. He's deceitful. He's a shapeshifter. He is very roguish, but not roguish and likable like the Marvel Hercules, but kind of like sneaky and underhanded, and he's always trying to mess with Wonder Woman and the Amazons in one way or another.
There was actually an episode of the 2001 Justice League series, actually, where this one villain was tricking Wonder Woman to get this relic piece together because she put her fellow sisters in the stone, and it was actually to get Hades to come out. And apparently Hades had a relationship with Wonder Woman's mother, actually, and all that. And so Justice League had to stop Hades then. That was interesting, thank you so much.
That's interesting about our culture, too, in that it's made Hades a bad guy. And in antiquity, not that anybody wanted to get too close to the underworld, unless you were a hero and you had to go there. But he wasn't a bad guy in the ancient mythologies. He was just lord of the underworld, and he got that by pulling a short straw when the kingdoms were being portioned out. So he wasn't evil. And although I love the Disney portrayal of Hades with the flaming blue hair, and the actor plays him masterfully, that
Steve
isn't
Woods.
What Hades
James
was all
Woods,
about.
Yeah.
Now, Bronto, do you and Thomas, have you guys ever spoken before?
I think we might have a couple times.
Certainly online. I don't know about it on the phone, at least.
But yeah, I mean, I think we like might have passed through comments. I think every now and then, but I recognize you like on Facebook.
Yes, I'm frequently posting on Hercules and Athena's posts, and there's a couple of communities we have in common as well, I'm sure.
And a long history.
Indeed.
Even longer than the one I have with you, Thomas. So we've all known each other for quite a while here, and I'm very honored to still be among friends. We've met many, many hundreds of people, and now with Facebook, thousands of people, but the folks we've gotten close to have been a very small handful, so I'm greatly honored that you're among those folks.
And I feel greatly honored as well. Hope for many years to come.
The same here. What would each of you like to see in terms of the interfaith dialogue? Where would you like to see it go? Let's say we're having like a review a year from now. What would you like to have seen happen in that year?
You mean like for ourselves, or like as like the Wiccan pagan community as a whole, or?
Well, starting with our dialogue, we have a interfaith dialogue, which includes some of the mythic spiritualities, aside from the Olympian path, but the intra-faith dialogue is mostly for people in the Olympian path. What I would like to see is I would just like to see a sharing of information. Like, for instance, even though I'm not a recon person, I don't have anything per se against recons, and I can actually see recons playing a very important function in putting together public rituals. And historical recreations and things like that. So I'd love to work with the recons. However, many of the recons can't get past the fact that my particular path also includes modern and ancient theosophy and modern and ancient theurgy. And from comments I've seen lately, I'm kind of bastardizing the pure faith by mixing in all these other New Agey and pagan elements into it. And I don't see it that way at all. This is all part of my learning, and this is how it makes sense to me now and how I choose to interact with it. But I like to see a lot of that stuff drop away and for us to find ways of working together, each coming from a position of strength, and sharing a lot more than we're currently sharing. Like, for instance, you have groups like Chris Aldrich's group, and you have the Naos Alexandria group publishing hymnals. I personally don't use hymnals, but a lot of people do. So why not have those guys be the hymnal people for people who like publishing hymnals? We form a relationship with them on that particular front. We're going to start publishing soon as well. And I will be speaking with both of you about these projects, because you're both awesomely creative and you have very different perspectives. But why not, instead of being the one and only way, we find the niches that feed our soul and contribute to our communities, and then since we're different individuals, we're going to have different niches, and just start communicating from there. That's what my vision is, that a year from now we're planning projects together, and we're able to extend our reach because we've teamed up with other heroes, like the Argonauts of old, each with their own skill set, each with their own connections, each with their own perspective, and we can pool our resources and do something even better than we're able to do individually.
Well, I know that's one something that our... Oh, go ahead.
Thank you very much. One of the things that we all struggle with is a sense of community, because in Boston, the greater Boston area, I should say, there are a number of Hellenic groups, but there's not a lot of overlap in terms of the details of practice, and sometimes that can break down into meaningless arguments. So some kind of forum, which is acknowledged as a neutral territory, if you will, where people can connect, pool resources, and do things like publish, do things like select a charitable organization or events that we want to work together to promote, to work together to combine our knowledge, to work together to create some kind of resources for people who are just waking up to the gods and don't know what to do. So they end up turning to pop culture, which I'm grateful to it for inspiring people, but it rings hollow if that's the only source of information, that and the copy of Bullfinches you got in high school. If we can do those, provide a community that collects those sorts of things and provide the safe ground, I think that we've given an incredible service that nobody has quite gotten to yet.
Very well said. And before we come to Thomas's perspective, Tina's joined us. So let me include Tina into our conversation. Greetings, Tina. How are you?
How are you guys tonight? Happy Halloween.
Okay.
Happy Halloween.
Welcome.
How is our favorite roller derby queen?
Doing pretty good right now.
I'm glad to hear that. And you wrote a wonderful blessing. So I will give you the floor, and you can read it for us.
Oh, now? Oh, great. Thank you.
Sure.
First of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you, yep. Both you and Athena. Okay. sorry about this. To the billing winds of the east, governed by Mercury of the winged Caduceus, I proclaimed you joined. May air surround you and never blow you apart, and continue to give you the knowledge and wisdom of Mount Olympus. To the continuing transforming fires of South and Hestia's warm hearth, I proclaim you joined. May the fires of passion and love always continue to burn in your hearts under the protection of Hestia's cauldron. To the boundless waves of the waters of the West, governed by Poseidon of the Trident, I proclaim you joined. May your soul always find a safe harbor in this ever-changing world guided by Poseidon's waves. To the grounding earth of the north, protected by Gaia, mother of nature, I proclaim you joined. May Gaia always keep you grounded in each other until she accepts you back into herself. To the endless depths of eternal spirit, realm of the gods and the supreme god Zeus, I proclaim you joined. May you and the gods and goddesses of Olympus look upon your servants, Hercules and Invictus, and Athena Victory with favor as they continue to proclaim the glory of Olympus on this their life path. I also ask special favor of the namesakes of these two people, Hercules and Athena. May you continue to grant him the strength of the lion with the touch of the lamb. I also ask that Athena still continue to grant her wisdom to guide them and the strength to stand by his side. So mote it be.
Wow, that's
so
beautiful.
Be.
So mote it be. Thank you so very much.
No problem.
It's awesome.
It's beautiful. We were a little choppy today, but you know what? This is what happens in any Greek ceremony when you don't invite Eris.
But
she was here. She was here. Same time, waving.
Hi, Eris.
Oh,
I threw
Eris invites
herself.
Okay
at her, but it was overhand.
Before I wrap up for tonight, I wanted to hear Thomas and Tina's thoughts about the Interfaith Council. Basically, there's going to be a dialogue between different people who honor the Olympians to see if we can more systematically learn from each other and expand our horizon. So I had asked the question a year from now, when we're looking back on this year in review, what would you like to have seen happened in terms of Olympian group dialogue? So we'll go to Thomas first. Thomas?
I think it would be best that we get the education out there more, as well as as introduce more people into it. I mean, in our area here, we got like our Pagan Pride Day. We got a North Dakota Grand Sabbath. They got Pagan Pride Day down in the Twin Cities as well with the Grecian Covenant down there. That they do a very articulate, wonderful job. And I'm hoping that in a year that for those that are still out there, they're still finding their path, that they, you know, they see, you know, either hear from us or they find this and they get more educated on this. And we see the blessings of our efforts that we do this, to seeing the fact that, oh, this is where my path may lead, if it is. And that we have more people to understand and not fear us in the long run.
Very awesome. And that is something, since you go to a lot of these events, and we occasionally do, that is definitely something that we can work on. And Bronto, in the past, I know you used to go to many such events. Do you still attend them?
Yes, some.
Okay, awesome. So this is something we could definitely work on, getting awareness spread throughout the pagan community. And I'd like to learn more about that group that you had mentioned, and I will contact them and see if we can interview them on the show. Tina, last but certainly not least, what would you like to see?
Well, I would like, at this one thing that this election has taught me is that there is more than just two choices out there. I would like to see that people, again, not fear us and realize that deity is a diamond. Deity is, it may have many names, many faces, and it shouldn't matter what we call that deity. It should just matter what's in our hearts. And if we follow the Olympian pathway versus the Christian one versus the Judeo one versus Catholic versus Wiccan versus anything else, better understanding between us, better outlook, better now it seems like with all this chaos in there, now is the time to reach out more to our communities and hold our communities together in this time of complete chaos. I mean, talk about Eris being out there. And I hope that it was in a year later that we can look back and say, okay, we weathered this storm. How can we make this better?
Very awesomely said. I now recruit you all to our new Argonaut expedition. Bronto's been on a few of these, so I would like to welcome you. Let's go out and change the world and make it a better place.
Will do.
Definitely.
Thank you so very much for blessing our wedding with your words and with your presence. I'm touched very deeply to my heart, and I really thank you all. It means a lot to me that you are all here, and I look forward to the next time our paths cross, whether virtually or in person.
I can't wait till next time.
Same here. It's always a great pleasure to talk with you guys.
Yes, you are. It's always great to be a part of a meeting of like minds.
Thank you. I wish you all joyous journeys and much happiness. May you be blessed by the gods.
May you always be
both
blessed
as well.
You.
And congratulations again.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
To those of you joining us from home, thank you very much for being a part of this. We greatly appreciate it, and we will see you on Facebook. There's a lot going on, but we're still organizing and putting it together, so I'll be announcing it on Facebook as well. Have a wonderful evening, everybody.
You too.
Night, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.